Let's get started on another week of our 4.5 year verse-by-verse journey through all of God's inspired word by opening to Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 7. And I do hope you've got something that you can jot down references on in case you hear something that would be beneficial to yourself or someone that is near to you. Because this is intended to be used as resource material, to be memorized, to learn how to make good life choices. Proverbs 22:7 is a verse often referenced by Christian financial groups. It says, "The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is the slave of the lender." And that is very true. If we owe money to someone, they have at least some level of control over our lives. And the more we owe, the more control. So the best choice is to try not to borrow money, or if you do, make sure you always pay it off in a timely fashion. Verse number 8. "Whoever sows injustice will reap calamity, and the rod of his fury will fail." And so here we've got the idea of sowing and reaping. If you are a person that is sowing bad stuff, then you're going to reap bad stuff. Now, the good side of this proverb is that when somebody who's been doing bad stuff comes under the judgment of God, then their troublemaking days will be over, and they will not have this rod of fury that they can use against you anymore. Verse number 9. "Whoever has a bountiful eye," or a good eye, "will be blessed, for he shares his bread with the poor." Immediately, I think about Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, talking about this generous eye, and how all of us should have this generosity built into us, this generous spirit, especially toward people who, through no fault of their own, have fallen on hard times. Because if we treat them kindly, then that will be accounted to us by God, and He will treat us kindly as well. Verse number 10, good advice here. "Drive out a scoffer, and strife will go out, and quarreling and abuse will cease." We know troublemakers that run their mouths cause trouble widely. And the best solution to that is to take them out of the equation. This is much easier for those that are in charge of a group, because they have the authority sometimes to fire or to reprimand those that are stirring the pot. Other situations, those who have control of those situations need to take that in consideration as well. Because it's never good when somebody just keeps causing trouble. Verse number 11. "He who loves purity of heart and whose speech is gracious will have the king as his friend." Again, my mind goes to Jesus' Sermon on the Mount about the pure in spirit. The people who speak well toward others, who are kind and gracious, the likelihood that their attitude will promote them in the minds of people of authority becomes increased. In Solomon's mind, they are pretty much acting as a friend of his. Verse number 12. "The eyes of he who is keep watch over knowledge, but he overthrows the words of the traitor." So God wants to intervene and assist in promoting his knowledge, his wisdom. And he wants to stand against and deal with the promotion of unwise words and treacherous words. Verse 13 is one of our lazy passages. "The sluggard says, 'Oh, there's a lion outside. I'm going to be killed in the streets.'" And so this is his excuse for not going and working or looking for a job is something bad might happen if I leave the house today. And of course, that's ridiculous. Yes, there are times that it would be dangerous to go out to your work. I mean, during the middle of the tornado, you probably ought to be seeking shelter. But generally speaking, you are not going to come into danger by going to work. And so the advice of Solomon is basically get to work, quit making excuses. Verse number 14, the mouth of the forbidden woman is a deep pit. He who is angry will fall into it. Now this gets back to that long illustration earlier in the book of Proverbs, that wisdom is like the good lady that you should want to get married to and spend the rest of your life with. And foolishness, the opposite of wisdom, is like that wild woman that is only looking for momentary excitement. And actually, she's much more likely to use you and throw you away. So here is a reminder that getting sucked into either one of the things used in the illustration, either an illicit relationship or with foolishness, is going to bring you down. And people who are in bad relationship with God are going to be much more likely to fall into those unwise situations. Now, verse 15 touches on the topic of corporal punishment, which some people today have a big problem with. And I think the big problem is because it is inappropriately applied and not used for the right reasons. Verse number 15 says, folly, and by that it means foolishness, the rejection of authority. Remember, one of the verses I keep bringing up is, a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now, that's not just simply the rejection of divine authority. It also goes down the chain to the rejection of God-designated authority. And so rebellion against authority is a problem when you see it in a child, and it needs to be dealt with. And sometimes that may require a negative physical reinforcement. A little bit of temporary pain, not permanent, no permanent damage should be done in corporal punishment. But just a little bit of pain to remind the person, this is a bad idea that you're involved in. It needs to stop. So folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. And the goal is that over a brief period of time, corporal punishment will give way to self-discipline, that the child will mature and come to his or her own conclusion, you know what? Rejecting authority of my mom and my dad, rejecting the school authorities, rejecting government authorities, rejecting God's authority is never a good idea. And I need to be better at doing the right thing because it's the right thing. So that's the ultimate goal, is to replace corporal punishment with self-discipline driven by wisdom. Verse number 16. Whoever oppresses the poor to increase his own wealth or gives to the rich will only come to poverty. Now, don't get confused by that second phrase that somehow giving to the rich is a bad idea. That's not the point. The point is taking advantage of poor people and giving to illicit rich people. Bad rich people in order to get on their good side. Those are not good choices at all. And so they will eventually bring the judgment of God into your life. Because as we'll see later, Proverbs, God takes those things into consideration. Verse 17, incline your ear and hear the words of the wise and apply your heart to my knowledge. For it will be pleasant if you keep them within you, if all of them are ready on your lips. So this is Solomon encouraging his son, encouraging his kids. You know what? You need to apply yourself now to soaking up all of the wisdom I'm trying to give you from God, so that later it'll just kind of pour out of you. It'll just be kind of a natural outgrowth of yourself, and that will be a good thing. And this is, again, another idea of growing up, of becoming mature, is that those things that are being impressed to us when we're younger and immature will eventually be accepted and incorporated by us into our lifestyle, and we will use it to make good decisions. Verse number 19, that your trust may be in He who is, I have made them known to you today, even to you. So this is, again, Solomon saying, the reason I'm giving this to you is so that you will learn to trust God, and that you'll have all this stuff readily available to you and impact on the way you live. Verse 20, have I not written to you 30 sayings of counsel and knowledge? Now, the word 30 there, it might be three, it might be third. It might, according to at least one translation, actually be the word for previous. So the big point is that Solomon says, look, I'm getting this stuff written down for the purpose of instilling in you counsel and knowledge, good stuff, so that, verse 21, to make you know what is right and true, that you may give a true answer to those who sent you. So the goal of instruction in wisdom, the goal of us going over these Proverbs right now, is to get them down into the core of each of us so that it'll come out in our normal pursuit of life, in our reaction to situations. Again, it kind of makes me think of a New Testament passage where Peter writes that all of us should be ready to give an answer to anyone about the hope that lies within us. And we should do it with reverence, that is fear, and with meekness. So the goal of life in Christ is to become more and more mature and be always ready to explain to others why we live the way we live, with the hope that maybe they'll join us. Maybe they will become followers of the one true God. Verse 22. Do not rob the poor because he's poor, or crush the afflicted at the gate. For he who is will plead their cause and rob of life those who rob them. So God is a defender of those who can't necessarily defend themselves. People in poverty have no resources, have no ability to defend themselves. And so just because they are weak in that respect, they become targets by unscrupulous people. And the warning that is given here is, guess what? God is watching, and He will judge those who take advantage of others. So don't do it. Verse 24, make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. So we've got a New Testament proverb where Paul says that bad company corrupts good morals. We have a modern day proverb where we say birds of a feather flock together. And that idea is the people we spend lots and lots of time with, that we make relationships with, their activities are going to affect how we act. So we should not hang with people who have short fuses. We should not hang with people who lash out in anger about things that don't go their way, because that's a bad example to follow, and we don't want to engage in that sort of behavior. So choose your friends wisely. verse number 26. Be not one of those who gives pledges, who put up security for debts. If you have nothing which to pay, why should your bed be taken from under you? So again, we are reminded it is not wise to co-sign loans for people who can't afford taking the loan out on their own, because it means when they default, you'll end up paying. And if you've only got so much, you may end up with a lot less, maybe only the clothes on your back, or in the case here, you might even lose your bed. Just think through it. The point is that people should live within their means. And we have an issue, I think, today where a lot of young people who have grown up in homes, when they get out on their own, they start thinking they should have all the stuff that their parents already have. But they don't realize, they don't stop to think, you know what, it took years for your parents to accumulate those things. And it should probably take a while for you to accumulate such things to yourself. So be careful not to encourage, particularly younger people we're thinking about here, to live outside their means. Let them grow up into possessions instead of co-signing loans for them to maybe buy a big house or a bigger car than they need or things like that. Verse number 28. Do not move the ancient landmark that your fathers have set. When the Israelis moved into the land, it was all divided up by divine lot, and markers were placed. Standing stones were placed to show the property lines between the different family farms. Something similar is done today. I know in our country, they tend to sink down metal rods as markers. Nowadays, we're able to use kind of satellite technology with GPS positioning satellites to help with this. If you were to dig up one of those metal markers today and move it, that is a major criminal offense. Because what you're doing is you are intentionally trying to steal property from your neighbor. And if you get caught, you will pay the penalty. So that's what they're talking about here. If you move one of these ancient standing stones as an attempt to steal property from your neighbor, that will be punished. And since it was God who decided those boundaries at the beginning of Israeli history, you're actually trying to cheat God. And so that's why they were warned against this. And we'll hear it again later. Verse 29. Do you see a man skillful in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. So encouragement here to apply yourself to your job. Do your best. And that way you will be noticed by people of authority, people of influence. And I think it's kind of implied here that you might even get more responsibilities that you can carry out to the benefit of yourself and others. Chapter 23, warning. When you sit down to eat with a ruler, observe carefully what is put before you. Put a knife to your throat if you are given to appetite. Do not desire his delicacies, for you they are deceptive food. Now, the idea here is to watch out for people who wine and dine you, because they might have ulterior motives. So, in this case, you've got a king that sets you down at the table, and he puts all these delicious things in front of you, and you should think, why? Why is he doing this? And don't get all caught up into gobbling it down, because then the trap might be sprung on you. This proverb always makes me think about those things you get in the mail from groups that want to give you a free dinner at a special restaurant. And the only thing they ask of you is that they want to make a presentation. They want to try to talk to you about their product. And of course, you know what happens. The moment you eat, they start the high pressure sales technique, and they're even going to try to put a guilt trip on you. Well, you came and ate our food. You ought to buy our product. You ought to invest in our company. And of course, that's the goal. And so the wisdom of Proverbs is think before allowing yourself to be put into that sort of situation. Verse number 4, do not toil to acquire wealth. Be discerning enough to desist. When your eyes light on it, it's gone. For suddenly it sprouts wings, flying like an eagle toward heaven. So this is a reminder that you should not be focused on the wealth of this world and push yourself hard to try to get a hold of stuff. Because the reality is, stuff goes away. Money disappears. Even wealth that's been invested properly can sometimes have something happen which will cause it to go away. And so don't put your trust in things or money. Put your trust in God. Verse number 6. Do not eat the bread of a man who is stingy or whose eye is evil, because the Jewish mindset was that the eye represented your generosity factor. And so a good eye was generous and an evil eye was stingy. So don't eat the bread of a man who is stingy. Don't desire his delicacies, for he is like one who is inwardly calculating. Eat, drink, he says to you, but his heart's not with you. And you will vomit up the morsels that you have eaten and waste your pleasant words. So again, it's that warning. Watch out for people that are trying to schmooze you, wine and dine you, because they're possibly not out for your best interests. And they're looking to line their own pockets or take advantage of you. So just be careful. Think before you respond to people who are doing that to you. All of us complain about unscrupulous salesmen who, when you shake their hand, you immediately start looking to make sure your rings are still in place and your watch is still there and that you've got all your fingers, because they're just that sleazy. And so that's what the Proverbs is kind of warning us about. All right, verse number 9. Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the good sense of your words. This is the idea that when you know somebody is a biblical fool, they reject authority, God's authority and civil authority, that's a person that's not going to be interested in what you have to say, especially wisdom-wise. And so don't waste your breath, is what this proverb is saying. I think when you're aware that a person is that way, your best bet is to pray for them and leave them into God's hands, that maybe God's got somebody else that can make inroads with them. If you've had a run-in with a fool already and made no progress, don't cast your pearls before swine. Okay? Verse number 10. Do not move an ancient landmark or enter the fields of the fatherless, for their Redeemer is strong. He will plead their cause against you. We already talked about this. The fields of the fatherless, though, that goes a little bit farther. The border of every field in Israel automatically belonged to the poor people. It was, I think they established that it was one swath of the cutting sai. That belonged automatically to the poor people. And so the idea here is don't try to steal from others, and especially don't try to steal from the poor people, because God is watching, and he will bring you to an account for it, whether in this world or in the world to come, doesn't matter. You will answer to him for how you've mistreated other people. Verse number 12, apply your heart to instruction and your ear to words of knowledge. So Wisdom doesn't come by accident. You have to put the effort into it. And so that's what we're trying to do right now by going through God's word. Verse number 13, back to the idea of corporal punishment again. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. If you strike him with the rod, you will save his soul from Sheol. So a spanking appropriately applied in an appropriate time, such as when a child is being stubborn in rebellion. And remember, appropriate application leaves no permanent damage. It's just a momentary bit of physical pain to try to get them over the bump of their rebellion. That's the point. And so they may kick and scream and holler and act like they're being killed, but they'll survive it. And the goal is to keep them from having to face future, more serious judgment. Verse number 15. My son, if your heart is wise, my heart will be, too, will be glad. My inmost being will exult when your lips speak what is right. So this is good positive reinforcement, good verbal reinforcement. Parents are excited when they see that their kids are living what they've been taught and when they're actually reproducing it verbally, passing it on. I think of John, the apostle, when he writes, I have no greater joy than this, to see that my children, that is his students, are still walking in the truth. And then we'll finish with this little warning we've had before. Let not your heart envy sinners, but continue in the fear of he who is all the day. Surely there is a future, and your hope will not be cut off. Don't fall into the trap of thinking other people are getting away with it. Why can't I? The reality is they won't in the long run. And besides that, we're supposed to do the right thing regardless of what other people are doing.